A letter is more than just a message. And a clax is so expensive in any case that the average man in the street can just about afford it in a time of crisis. Granddad's dead funeral twos. A day's wages to send a message as warm and human as a thrown knife. But a letter is real. He stopped. Miss Cripslock was scribbling like mad, and it's always worrying to see a journalist take a sudden interest in what you're saying, especially when you half suspect it was a load of old pigeon guano. And it's worse when they're smiling. "People are complaining that the clax is becoming expensive, slow and unreliable," said Miss Cripslock. "How do you feel about that?" "All I can tell you is that today we've taken on a postman who is 18,000 years old," said Moist. "He doesn't break down very easily."
"Ah, yes, the golems. Some people say..."
"What is your first name, Miss Cripslock?" said Moist. For a moment, the woman coloured. Then she said,
"It's Saccharissa."
"Thank you. I'm Moist. Please don't laugh. The golems..." "You're laughing, aren't you?"
"It was just a cough, honestly," said the reporter, raising a hand to her throat and coughing unconvincingly.
"Sorry. It sounded a bit like a laugh. Saccharissa, I need postmen, counterclerks, sorters. I need lots of people. The mail will move. I need people to help me move it. Any kind of people. Ah, thanks, Stanley." The boy had come in with two mismatched mugs of tea. One had an appealing little kitten on it, except that erratic collisions in the washing-up bowl had scratched it, so that its expression was that of a creature in the final stages of rabies. The other had once hilariously informed the world that clinical insanity wasn't necessary for employment, but most of the words had faded, leaving, "You don't have to be mad, work here, but it helps." He put them down with care on Moist's desk. Stanley did everything carefully.
"Thank you," Moist repeated.
You can go now, Stanley. Help with the sorting, eh?"
"There's a vampire in the hall, Mr. Lipfig," said Stanley. "That will be Otto," said Saccharissa quickly. "You don't have a thing about vampires, do you?"
"Hey, if he's got a pair of hands and knows how to walk, I'll give him a job."
"He's already got one," said Saccharissa, laughing. "He's our chief iconographer. He's been taking pictures of your men at work. We'd very much like to have one of you for the front page."
"What? No," said Moist. "Please, no."
"He's very good."
"Yes, but, Moist began. And in his head, the sentence went on, "But I don't think that even a talent for looking like half the men you see in the street would survive a picture." What actually came out was, "I don't want to be singled out from all the hard-working men and golems who are putting the post office back on its feet. After all, there's no me in team, eh?"
"Actually, there is," said Saccharissa. "Besides, you're the one wearing the winged hat and the golden suit. Come on, Mr. Lipvig."
"All right, all right. I really didn't want to go into this, but it's against my religion," said Moist, who'd had time to think. "We're forbidden to have any image made of us. It removes part of the soul, you know."
"And you believe that?" said Saccharissa. "Really?"
No, of course not. Not as such. But you can't treat religion as a sort of buffet, can you? I mean, you can't say, "Yes, please, I'll have some of the celestial paradise and a helping of the divine plan, but go easy on the kneeling and none of the prohibition of images. They give me wind. It's table d'hôte or nothing. Otherwise, well, it'd be silly."
Miss Cripslock looked at him with her head on one side. "You work for his lordship, don't you?" she said.
"Well, of course. This is an official job."
"And I expect you'll tell me that your previous job was as a clerk, nothing special."
"That's right.
Although your name probably is Moist von Lipvig, because I can't believe anyone would choose that as an assumed name," she went on.
"Thank you very much."
"It sounds to me as though you're issuing a challenge, Mr. Lipvig. There's all sorts of problems with the clax right now. There's been a big stink about the people they've been sacking, and how the ones that are left are being worked to death, and up you pop, full of ideas."
"I'm serious, Saccharissa. Look, people are already giving us new letters to post." He pulled them out of his pocket and fanned them out. "See, there's one here to go to Dolly Sisters, another to Knapp Hill, one for Blind Io."
"He's a god," said the woman. "Could be a problem."
"No," said Moisk briskly, putting the letters back in his pocket. "We'll deliver to the gods themselves. He has three temples in the city. It'll be easy."
And he'd forgotten about the pictures. Hooray. "A man of resource, I see. Tell me, Mr. Lipvig, do you know much about the history of this place?"
"Not too much. I'd certainly like to find out where the chandeliers went to."
"You haven't spoken to Professor Pelk?"
"Who's he?"
"I'm amazed. He's at the university. He wrote a whole chapter on this place in his book on... oh, something to do with big masses of writing thinking for themselves. I suppose you do know about the people who died?"
"Oh, yes."
"He said the place drove them mad in some way. Well, actually, we said that. What he said was a lot more complicated. I have to hand it to you, Mr. Lipvig, taking on a job that has killed four men before you. It takes a special kind of man to do that.
Yes.